We're recording.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Another teleconference for us. I've got a script to read that makes us official. Good evening. This is the president of Harris County Mud 136, Neil Polansky, speaking. The August board meeting of Harris County Mud 136 is now called to order. This video conference meeting is being audio recorded per the Texas Open Meeting Regulations and direction from the Attorney General of Texas. Members of the public may request to listen to the audio recording of this meeting after the minutes of this meeting on the www.hcmud136.org website. I hope that everyone is staying well during this COVID-19 pandemic. The board is conducting this meeting via teleconference to protect the safety of the staff, board members, and the public. I'm now going to take a roll call to identify everybody on the call. Please answer as appropriate. Directors, Barry Greer.
Present.
Brent Phelps. Adam Rodriguez.
Present.
Eric Worthington.
This is Eric, present.
Okay. We appear to have a quorum and will now proceed. Roll call of consultants. Rose Montalbano.
Here.
Betty Rodriguez.
I'm right here.
Bob Wimpy. I know Bob's here.
I'm here. Yes, I'm here, Neil.
Okay. And Keith Arant was here. Is Keith here?
Yes, sir. Present.
Okay. And Jane Meyer, you're here.
I'm present.
All right. I would now ask for any additional. I would now ask for any additional consultants, members of the public, or participants of this call that were not named to clearly state your name for the record. I'll give that a few seconds. Okay, to promote order and avoid confusion, I ask that everybody follow these guidelines. One, identify yourself each time before you speak. Remember that this is primarily an audio recording for those of us who choose to listen afterwards. And then conclude your comments with the word pass or otherwise indicate that you are finished to pass the conversation back to the group. And for each vote, I will call roll, and please signify your vote as appropriate. We will now move to the first item on the agenda, which is public comments. Any members of the public who have yet to be identified, if you have anything to add at this point, please do so. Hearing nothing, we'll move forward. Any members of the public who wish to comment at any time have the ability to do so. Agenda item number two, approving the minutes of the meeting of July 9th, 2020. Do we have any additions? I know, Jane, you had brought up a few things to our, I don't know if everybody had the opportunity to read your email, but do you want to bring those to our attention?
Sure. I just noticed right before the meeting and the previous minutes that I distributed, I'd left some notes under Rose's report that it was like a sentence. And so I deleted that. So that's gone. And I think Barry, you had emailed about
item number five. This is Barry.
Right.
The last sentence in item number five about Senate Bill 2 compliance. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound right to me. It's asking about or added to NRF's budget should be the right to cover your all's costs.
Right, just to itemize it.
Over.
Okay, Barry, did you have anything else, or Eric or Adam or Brent, if you're there, anything else regarding the minutes?
Nothing from Adam.
Did you have a comment, Adam?
No.
Okay. All right, do I hear a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion. This is Barry. Pass.
We have a second?
Second.
Okay, sounds like Adam. Okay. I'm going to take roll on approving the minutes. Number one is Barry Greer. Brent Phelps. Adam Rodriguez.
Yes.
Eric Worthington.
This is Eric, yes.
Okay, motion carries 4-0. Thank you. And Rose, bookkeeper's report, investment report, and authorized payment of bills. You're on.
All right, and I'm going to start off with a little bit of news. I do have exciting new news for the board. I would love to do this in person, but unfortunately, circumstances. My first bit of news is that we are moving our offices next month. We are no longer going to be at Highway 6 and Clay Road. We are moving to 59 in Westland. So that's my first bit of news. Second is we are becoming a true family business as of September 1st. My big brother is joining our team. And so I get to work with my mommy and my brother. I'm very excited. And so as soon as we're back in person, I'll be bringing him around to show him off to all of you guys. Unfortunately, you're stuck with me as your rep.
How much more is this going to cost us?
That's a higher rent district up there, isn't it?
No kidding.
He, like I, is working for free.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so moving on to my report, on your front page, I do have your cash balances listed there below. The average rate of text pull did decrease. It was at 0.21%. It is down to 0.2082%. Moving on to your second page is, of course, all the activity since last time we met. You dispersed out of your general fund $104,041.34. Under receipts, you can see the bank interest coming in, as well as accounts receivables from your operator for June and July. Page three, these are the checks that I have for your approval today. They total $152,205.30. Point out check number 10193 to McCall Gibson. That is the final billing on your audit. And then point out those last four checks are customer deposit refunds. Page four of my report is your budget to actual, and I am showing you 3 months ended July or June 30th. Your variance on your revenues, you're running really close, only under $1,068.64. On your expenditures, you are running under the $183,000. Of course, that's tracking back to your water plant improvement. And so overall, you are showing that excess revenue of the $182,473.10. And then I have that budget broken down to you on page five. And that is all the news I have for you this evening, and I'll open it up for any questions.
Excuse me, this is Barry. Jane, could you remove that little thing that says this meeting is being recorded?
You have to click on it. Click the close button.
I think you have to accept it, Barry, for it to disappear.
I have to accept it?
Yeah.
Really? I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Thought it was you.
It's just notifying you that you're being recorded.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so does anybody have any comments or questions for Rose regarding the bookkeeper's report? Okay, do I have a motion to approve?
Barry, so moved.
Adam, second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. All in favor of the motion, I'll call the roll. Barry?
Yes.
Brent Phelps is not here. Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
This is Eric, yes. Brent's online now.
Okay.
Yeah, and I vote yes.
Okay. Brent, yes. Neil, yes. 5-0. Bookkeeper's report is approved. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you, guys.
Tax assessor collector's report, Penny.
All right. First page shows your taxes receivable are at $11,076.08. That's as of the end of July. Next page shows your activity. Not much going on this month, just a little under $65 collection. and disbursements of $2,287, leaving with $21,434.12 in the tax account. The next page just has two checks issued for this month, totaling $1,899.11. I know that's a small little check of 73 cents. I know. And the only reason we issued it is because they are they're our countywide property owner, and they had reductions in all of their business personal property accounts throughout the entire county. So it doesn't matter with the size of the refund, because they're getting checks from all the taxing jurisdictions, and they have a tax agent that is collecting all those checks for them. So they expect this check, in other words, is what I'm trying to say. So I had to issue it. Usually I wouldn't have issued it if it was under $5. But in this case, because they have so many accounts and they're getting refunds from a lot of different taxing jurisdictions, we had to go ahead and issue it. So my bad.
No problem.
All right, so on the next page, you're at 99.2% collected, 99% or better for all prior years. Last year, you were right about the same. Page 5 has your taxable values, your tax rates, and your adjusted levy. Page 6 has your breakdown of your tax rate, but for you guys, it's all maintenance anyway. Page 7 and 8, just bypass those, nothing to report. Page 9, nothing to report either. And then the last page, again, you see this every month, is your delinquent list. So the last few taxpayers that are delinquent or on deferrals. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Okay. Do I hear any questions for Patty regarding the tax assessor's report? Do we have the certified values yet?
No. They are really running behind this year. They're swamped, obviously, with hearings and then with the COVID situation and social distancing rules that they have. They are really running behind on getting all those heard and settled. They're telling us that hopefully by the end of August, early September, we'll have them in. So hopefully by next month, you'll be able to look at your certifieds and possibly even propose a tax rate.
So are we getting any leeway in regards to a new time frame for setting the tax rate, or is that remaining the same?
Normally, you get 60 days after certification to get your tax rate set. So you should be fine.
Okay. So it's like a floating point based on when the certified values come out.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So when we had talked about this at one time at a past meeting, and that is, has the Harris County Appraisal District come to any conclusion as to how the pandemic's effects are going to affect certified values for this year, or is it not basically going to hit us hit the district until next year?
I think it's going to hit the district, or it's going to hit values next year. I can't imagine that it wouldn't affect values, especially if businesses are closing, apartments are, you know, evicting, hotels aren't having any business. I do feel like there's going to be a lot more protests next year. This year, we're not seeing a big decrease in value. We're seeing a lot of our districts are either slightly up or about the same. And the appraisal district's not really giving us any ideas of what's to come. They have to wait until January 1st to get all that information. So I think January 1st, 2021 is when they're going to start really looking at it. And a lot of commercial properties are probably going to have the appraisal district revalue their properties at maybe using an income approach. because they're not bringing in as much income, they might have the appraisal district reevaluate their properties. So I anticipate a decrease. As far as 2020 taxes, again, the values look about normal, and they are having a high number of hearings this year, but you really can't reduce value based on economical disaster. It has to be physical. So in the situation that we're in right now, protesting the value is not really going to make a difference this year. So I don't anticipate a big change or a drop in value this year, but I do anticipate something next year.
Is it safe to assume that 136 is somewhat insulated from a potential revaluation downward because we are, such a great percentage of residential versus commercial? I know that when I monitored the Jackrabbit meeting the other day, they were talking about sales tax revenue just not coming in to the extent that, I mean, they've not only been hit with,
sorry.
They've not only been hit with the hurricane in 2017, but with the pandemic, they've really taken it on the chin. I would assume that maybe we're not going to suffer quite as badly from a revenue standpoint. At least I hope not, because then we'd have to refigure some of our spending.
I don't anticipate you guys having a big change up or down. I mean, I assume that Randall's will probably drop a little bit. But as far as residential, the only thing I think that might affect your values is if there's a lot of foreclosures this year or something like that. But, I mean, we won't know until the end of the year.
Yeah. It's a bad time for SB2 to take effect. Thank you, State of Texas. Anything else that you want to bring to our attention, Patty?
No, I think number five, you might need me for.
Okay. Right. Let's go ahead and take action on item number four. Do I hear a motion to approve?
This is Eric, so moved.
Barry, second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion, I'll call the roll. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Brent Phelps?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Neil Polansky votes yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you all.
Discuss status of tax values, publication of proposed tax rate, SB2 district designation, and take any necessary action. So is this basically a moot point until the certified values come in?
Yes, we put that on there just in case, on the off chance that they did come in early, but they haven't, so we'll defer until next month on that.
We'll be getting a new recommendation from the financial advisor.
You usually do, so yeah.
Okay. All right, any questions or comments on that item? So basically we just defer that until next month?
Right.
Okay. All right, if we have no board comments on that, we'll move on to the next, the investment policy and accept related party disclosures. This is kind of a boilerplate thing, right?
Right, so this is Jane. You guys review this every year. We don't propose any changes to it, so we just need a motion to approve.
Who is that?
Sorry, what did you say, Neil?
Do we have a motion to approve?
This is Barry. I make the motion.
This is Eric. I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and second. Any discussion on this? Everybody's had an opportunity to review. Okay. We have a motion and second. I'll call the roll. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Brent Phelps?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Neil Polansky votes yes. Item passes 5-0. Okay, thank you, Patty. All right, engineer's report, Bob.
Yes, hi, good evening, everyone. Again, this is Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Just some quick updates on the water plant electrical improvements. Work has started out there. We had a expand. There was a roadside ditch right when you come in the second gate to the plant, and we had to bump that out a little bit to provide the tension that the county required. So that's been done. Yeah, I agree. It took us about 6 weeks to get that approved. But
and about 30 minutes to do it.
Yeah, exactly. They've started some forming for the foundation out there. I know Barry was out there today. Barry, I saw your email and I left your voicemail. There is a gas line that has to be relocated. It's kind of out of the ground right now and just going over the top of the pavement. But that was included in their bid. So that was a known quantity at that time that was going to have to be relocated. So work's progressing. I'm not aware of any delays at this point. All the shop drawings have been approved, so they're making their orders with their vendors. I will follow up with the contractor here in the next week or so just to make sure there's not any lengthy delays. You never know with COVID on some of these suppliers, you know, are they shut down? Are they, you know, limited in what they can produce? But when he gave me the original schedule, we really weren't seeing anything significant there, but I'll follow up with them. And we do have attached to my report, it was a proposal from Tulane Wong Engineers. They're a material testing lab. It's for $3,550, and it's really just so they can test the subgrade where the foundation of the building's going in, and they also will do testing on the concrete that's poured out there to make sure the proper strength is met. So it's just an independent lab that, you know, you all want looking out for you. We don't want the contractor paying for that because obviously I'm not suggesting this guy would do it, but they could get favorable results. So it is somebody that you want to hire independently. So we do have that proposal attached there. And so that's really all I've got. I'll open it up for any questions that anybody may have.
Tulane Wong is that's their estimate, $3,555. That's basically going to be time spent doing
time and material.
Yeah, I mean that could be. I can't imagine it costing $3,555, but whatever.
I don't normally on their proposals, I don't see them going over. Certainly the dollar amount that they provide, I think they try to be a little bit conservative. And I agree with you, Barry, there's not much to go on out there. So I would think that's conservative.
Yeah. Anyway, when I was out there today, they do have the perimeter forms up and they have the interior fill material placed and the pad built up. And the guy, Charles, said that they had, Tulane Wong had been out there and tested the compaction on it, and it was all covered in what termed as visqueen, black plastic, and they were tying steel together to put in the forms. So, moving along. He said the doors and the windows will all be delivered tomorrow, I believe. He's expecting them tomorrow, and he'll, I guess, have to store them in the generator building.
Yep, so work is progressing. It'll be fun to get this one done and behind us, albeit it's during hurricane season.
I've got a question as to the siting of the new building. Are we going to be preserving the asphalt parking lot or the asphalt platform that was?
Yes, Neil, this is Bob. There's a little piece that had to come out, the corner of the building. It was kind of tough fitting it in right there, but pretty much what you see out there will still remain intact.
Okay. All right. So the intent is not to, I'm just concerned, barricaded so that people can't park there at that tight location right there.
Bill, you're breaking up.
Yeah, you were breaking up there, but the parking is still there. It might be a little bit tighter. I mean, if you're trying to get, you know, an F-750 or something like that in there, it might be a little bit tight. But I don't know, Keith, if you've been out there to look at it at all to voice it. But basically, we put the building about the only place it could really go without some relocations and some other pipe work going in out there, but we tried to preserve that the best we could.
Okay, that's fine as far as I'm concerned. I just had that one question.
Okay. Well, that's all I've got, Neil. I'm happy to stay on for other items if you want me to. I'm at your discretion, whatever you want me to do.
The one question that I have, Bob, is have we heard anything more from the people that want to develop that tract at the northwest corner of Queenston and Clay Road?
See you back.
They had wanted to, we've got for the other board members, there is a 12-inch force main in Clay Road in that area, and they wanted to tie into that force main. And, you know, I just had talked to Keith and got his thoughts on it. And between the two of us, and I think even Neil chimed in separately, that we didn't feel like that was a great option for them to tie into. They're out of the district, so they're not in the district. It'd be out of district service. But we just didn't feel like them tying a force main into our 12-inch force main was probably a good idea. And I did relay that to him. And Neil, I think he came back and said, well, what if we, I guess what they would do is run in their own force main down. He said, could we go down to Clay's and tie into our own force main that already ties into this force main? Mm-hmm. And I didn't even really respond to that because I don't know that the county would approve that's a private force main. I don't know that they would approve that going in the right of way or that even if there is room in the right of way, but I just didn't respond to that. And that was right after our last meeting. And I really haven't heard more from them, but I just didn't see that being very viable. But I think at the end of the day, if they came back and said, could we do that? I think again, we would probably decline it. I think they were basing it on the fact that, well, we've already done this once. Can we, you know, do it again? And I don't think it's a good idea, and I don't think Keith felt that way either.
Keith, you got any comments on that?
No, I agree. I felt like that there was probably limited value to the district. And potential for headache, operational issues and everything else. To me, it's kind of a non-starter. Some of what they pose, seems to potentially have all the ingredients for potential headache later on down the road.
Go ahead, Barry. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think it's a moot point because we don't have the capacity to do it. From a technical standpoint, we can't do it because we have to reserve capacity for the tract up in the, northwest corner of the district.
Barry, this is Bob. Yes, I agree with that. And they did tell me it would be a low use development. They didn't have specifics on what it would be, but they said maybe a gas station with some warehouse storage or something, but they weren't solidified on that plan. And so, you know, but I agree, we still have, you know, 20 something acres up there on the west side of Barker Cypress that's undeveloped, and we just don't know how that would go. And we are limited on our capacity. So, I think that's our easy answer back to them if they come, is we just don't have a lot of excess capacity with undeveloped property still in the district.
Yeah, I would agree. That's a non-starter for us. And we should probably not. I mean, if they keep asking us questions, we can respond. But I see no reason to be proactive with this. Like Barry said, we need to reserve capacity in our water and sewer system for that. That's basically where we are on that one. I think that's all. Does anybody else have any questions for Bob while he's still here?
I got one question. Where does Lake of Pine Forest, where does their sanitary go to?
Barker Cypress.
I'm sorry, which one?
This is Barry. He was asking about Lakes of Pine Forest. That's part of Barker Cypress Mud, isn't it?
I believe so. I know it's not coming to us, but I believe you're correct, Barry. I'd have to double check that, though.
Yes, that's Barker Cypress and all that stuff. I mean, their property that fronts Clay, gravity flows back towards the, you know, north.
Okay.
At least from what I remember, it's been a while since I've looked at those plans.
No, I think you're right. Yes.
So it goes north to Keith Harrell, perhaps?
That I'm not certain of. I just remember glancing at plans whenever we were messing with the interconnect there on the east side of Winsong. But because we've got the force main that runs on the north side of Clay, and from what I remember, I think, you know, they've got a gravity system that picks up those homes on the northern side of Clay, but I think it all gravity flows away, you know, north of Clay, away from Clay.
Okay. Any more questions or comments for Bob before we let him go to have fun for the evening?
This is Barry. Does Bob need to stick around to talk about the manhole there at Pine Forest? I'm assuming we'll talk about the flow meter under Keith's report.
Yeah, this is Keith. I mean, I can discuss that quickly if you guys like. I mean, there's not a whole lot there, but I mean, if you guys want me to go ahead, I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the flow monitoring equipment's all been installed. If you guys recall, the original intent was to set that equipment on the north side of Clay Road on the manhole that was just adjacent to the lift station. If you guys recall, I mentioned that I had some potential concerns, being that to some degree the level of water within that manhole is in part dictated by the operations of the lift stations. Obviously, the amount, you know, the level that we can pump that lift station down to is obviously determined by the intake of our pumps, right? We can't go beneath that, otherwise we lose prime. So wasn't entirely certain, you know, obviously if any of that flow or that equipment is ever sitting under water, then it's going to give you bad information, because it's all based upon velocity essentially. And so if you've got a charged manhole, you're not going to pick up true velocity, and so you're not going to have a true flow number. And so we ended up jumping to the south side of Clay, the manhole that we had recently, you know, we'd been looking for, talking about forever. We installed the equipment there. So there's two sensors that were installed. There's one that's actually in the downstream side of that manhole that registers flow based upon depth. And then they have another, and that's kind of just an added bonus. The real meat of the equipment hangs in suspension and captures flow, you know, through like a transducer as water passes. It was installed. It's been there for probably almost a month now, maybe a little bit less, maybe 3 weeks. There's the 2-inch force main that services the gated neighborhood there. My mind's going blank. Deerfield Park. There's a 2-inch force main that runs, you know, east-west that stubs out into that same manhole. That force main comes in a fair amount it comes in fairly high off the floor of the manhole. And so when the lift station would run, you'd have, you know, a 2-inch pipe running full bore, you know, pouring down on top of monitoring equipment, and again, potentially pose the opportunity to skew data. So we've since kind of temporarily diverted that flow. So we put more or less a flex hose on the end of that 2-inch line to try to prevent that free fall, because again, that's false velocity. And so I've talked to the flow, the folks over at Hawk, that they're the manufacturers of the equipment. They've been monitoring the equipment. I had a couple of meetings with them, and we've seen the quality of our data, I think, improve drastically over the last 2 weeks. I was hopeful to have a written report to give you all this evening that would kind of summarize, you know, what we've seen over the last 2 weeks. Have not yet received that. I'll reach out to Ann again tomorrow. As soon as I get that data, I will shoot that over to you guys. So the equipment's in, everything's operating. Things, I think, are moving in a good direction in the sense that I think we've kind of sidestepped any sort of potential error that could be created by that force main. And we'll continue to, you know, we're going to continue to watch the data. If we start seeing things that look skewed, you know, then we'll address it then.
So I'm assuming that we're getting some pretty good data on the dry flow off of the country club.
Correct. Yeah. And so just keep in mind too, that any sort of flow numbers that we're going to receive, they're going to be inclusive of Deerfield Park.
Right.
Which doesn't really, you know, potentially if we find some smoking gun here, then maybe we need to try to ferret through how we pull those two apart and actually monitor flow from one versus the other. You know, my intent and what I told Ann and the folks over at Hawk is that at the end of the day, I want to establish a baseline of what's our, you know, how much water is moving through that line on a dry day. And let's establish a baseline and then let's capture and quantify rain events. And so, you know, if we have a 1-inch rain event, if we have a 1/2-inch rain event or a 4-inch rain event, let's overlay that data, because we can, you know, we can have good information in regards to, you know, known rainfall amounts, and then overlay that data to our baseline so that we can see, you know, the magnitude potentially of INI or inflow and infiltration that we're receiving.
Well, in a perfect world, if Pine Forest, if we weren't getting in any INI from the Pine Forest property, they would be discharging the same amount into the lift station during a high rain event than they discharge into the system in a dry time.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, yeah, in the perfect world, you know, sewer plants all over town, whether it's raining or not, are going to have the same amount of water, you know, pushed to the head of the plant, and that plant doesn't exist. Every system has a degree of INI.
Sure.
You know, the intent is to what level, right? I mean, I'm also not convinced that there's also not some, you know, some issues of INI even within 136. And so, you know, we try to get the stuff with Pine Forest nailed down and behind us. And at least we know kind of the situation that we're in. And then let's kind of piece together a game plan as to what we do to monitor and or address any sort of potential issues within the collection system specific to 136.
I guess what my point was is if we add the inflow from Deerfield Park through their 2-inch force main to whatever we receive from the country club on a dry day, we should be able to draw some assumptions. If we get a 3 or 4 inch rainstorm during the course of a couple of hours, you know, I think we can probably assume that we're not getting a tremendous amount of INI from Deerfield Park, plus they're limited by their 2 inch force main. If the meter comes up with a tremendous inflow, like, you know, 150, 200, 300% of the dry flow of both Pine Forest and Deerfield Park together, then we pretty much have a case for there being a huge problem there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, and not to point fingers prematurely, but I mean, yeah, I think, you know, the country club has all the ingredients to be, you know, to have a fair amount of INI. It's an older line, lots of open space, you know, grass. Deerfield Park's a small footprint, a bunch of concrete. I mean, there's not a whole lot there. Plus, you know, and we've coordinated some with Deerfield Park's operator. I mean, I haven't looked inside their control panel at their lift station, but I'm almost certain that they've got time meters on those lift pumps. And so once we have data, you know, we should be able to look at their log sheets. And if we see a huge jump in Deerfield Park's pump runtime, well then yeah, maybe there is a degree of INI there. But again, I think to your point, Neil, I agree. I think if we can just establish a baseline as to, hey, what's our operating conditions in dry weather for the sum of, you know, wastewater from the country club and Deerfield Park, let's establish that baseline. When we have a rain event, let's compare. So I agree.
Okay. Bob, do you have anything to add on that? I think you're still there.
I am still here. I don't think I have much to add there.
Okay. All right. Anybody have any other questions or comments in regards to either the engineering report or the Pine Forest matter? Anything that anybody wants to bring up at this time?
Brent, I'd just like to point out that Pine Forest's sewer line was constructed by us, and we have lots of other lines constructed by us at the same time. And we have lots of INI that are coming to us. And, you know, I don't know how we're going to know that the amount of – I know Pine Forest is going to have INI. I don't know how we are going to know that it's any different than the INI that we have in our system. So before we talked about smoke tests, have you done anything on that, Keith?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, and I agree with Brent. I'm certain that there, I mean, we've seen it. I mean, and I think even Brent sent out some information, you know, that if you overlay rainfall data with our lift station pump run times, I mean, it tells much of the same story. I don't know that it's one feasible, two prudent to try to quantify the number of INI in gallons that's within 136. It is absolutely necessary to identify the areas of INI and to address them. And so obviously I think that the most effective and, you know, to me, the most effective means that we do that is through smoke testing. I've gotten proposals. I mean, if we were to go and smoke test all of 136, you guys would spend a ton of money. And so I think, as I mentioned last month, and I've got one proposal. I've requested two other numbers just so you guys can have some sort of comparisons. The other two folks have not responded. I was actually sitting here trying to pull up that email with the original quote, and essentially they're going to price you on a linear foot basis. I'll send that out to you guys tomorrow as soon as I get back in the office, just to give you guys kind of an idea as to the magnitude of job that we're talking about. But I think how we proceed is we bite off chunks. You know, and we determine X number of dollars or however many linear feet we want to do. And if we do that and it seems like it's tight and there's not a whole lot of INI, then let's decide where we move next, if and when. So, but to answer your question, yes, I do have a one proposal for smoke testing from a company called Source Point Solutions. It was received several weeks ago. I'll send that out to you guys first thing in the morning.
Brent, did that answer your question?
Yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to, Pine Forest is only one of a huge number of lines that we have that I'm certain have I-9, but I don't have any more.
Okay, well, that's enough on that. We'll move on. Bob Wempe, thank you for coming tonight.
All right, everybody stay safe, and we'll see you next month.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, agenda item number 8, Jackrabbit Road, PUD matters, take appropriate action. did anybody...
Sorry, did Bob need a motion for his proposal for the material testing?
I thought that we saw that last month.
We did.
Okay.
Do we need?
We need a motion. Make another motion.
Yeah, just go ahead, and I'll look back at it.
Ms. Berry, I'll make the motion to approve the proposal for testing.
Do I hear a second?
Adam, second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. We'll call the roll. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Brent Phelps?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Neil Polansky votes yes. Motion carries 5-0. Did anybody else attend the Jackrabbit meeting yesterday? Or Tuesday? I did. A good time was had by all. not too much happened. They discussed the flood wall. Apparently they are, they're pleased with some of the samples they took on the footings regarding the flood wall, and they might be able to save a few dollars there in regards to the size and the depth of the flood wall base that they're considering putting in. Again, this is just sort of a tangential issue for us since we're not a participant in that project. I just wanted to see whether or not they were talking about us in any way whatsoever. They talked about the SCADA system. Apparently we've heard information. We've got information from them regarding the SCADA system. They're moving forward with that. They talked quite a bit about Senate Bill 2 and the effects on the district. The attorney for Jackrabbit talked about Senate Bill 2 and the limitation on tax increase or taxable value from one year to the next. They said that because of the pandemic, the limitation for either 3 or 3.5% increase before you get a rollback election year. Apparently, we are not we do not have that 3%.
Neil, you're freezing up.
Yeah, that's, I don't know what the deal is. Can you hear me? Can anybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
out. Okay. All right, so that's basically what I heard from Jackrabbit. Nothing spectacular, nothing all that interesting to us. I would like to bring up just one item in regards to Jackrabbit. Tell me if I start breaking up again. We had an opportunity to look at their 25-year CIP projection last month, I believe. I had a discussion with Rose via email about the possibility of sometime in the future developing a line item on our budget for Jackrabbit-related CIP improvements. We both kind of agreed that for the next 4 or 5 years, the average amount that we're going to have to spend is about $50,000, which isn't a huge amount as far as our budget is concerned. But I want to say that their 25-year CIP plan is like, what, $15 million or something? which means that the future directors of 136 will have to deal with escalating costs, not only for Jackrabbit-related obligations, but our own CIP obligations. So I just wanted to sort of touch base on that. It might be a good idea for us to consider in another 6 months or a year the possibility of putting together a subcommittee to discuss future CIP-related financial obligations, both for our district as well as Jackrabbit, since we're a almost 10% partner in that sewer plant. So anyway, that sounded like a soapbox. Sorry about that, but I think it's something that's going to be important moving forward. Operations report. Keith.
All righty. For the month of July, 1,078 connections, six of those being vacant, received $106,598.24 in revenue. Total gallons produced from your well and received from the authority totaled 15,659,000 gallons. Billed out 14,926,000 of that, accounting for 95% of the water. Beneath that is the summary of your aid receivables, with the bulk of that being current and 30-day, which is what we'd hope to see. There were three leaks in the district. We took the four bacteriological samples, and those results were good. The following page is the water production and accountability history. Again, just showing you the historical data for over the last couple of years. There towards the bottom for the period ending July 2nd. Again, showing you at 95% for the period. Page following that is a summary of our invoice, along with the invoices that were sent to your bookkeeper for direct payment. The really nothing out of the ordinary there. The coordinator maintenance invoice was just the quarterly PM of the coordination system over at the water plant. And the source point solution invoice was related to TVing, doing some TV work on a sanitary sewer line related to the sinkhole over there near the lift station, which we discussed last month. Following that is the commercial usage. Really nothing to report on other than folks are still using a lot of water. Following that, the log sheet for your water plant for the month of July. You know, again, typical month typical July month, I should say, in that, you know, we're seeing a fair amount of production from the well, but everything there in good shape. Following that is your delinquent list. So we've had kind of the ongoing discussions for the last several months in regards to how we handle service terminations. There's a couple of, you know, obviously the HOA is on there, the big ticket item. And then, I mean, there's five or
it's embarrassing.
There's maybe five to eight, probably eight accounts that are, you know, higher than maybe what we would typically see just in light of us holding off on termination. Again, we've, you know, over the last, month or so in 136, we've been holding off on service terminations, but we've been a little bit more pointed in our communication with customers, just trying to initiate some sort of dialogue with them, establish payment plans, everything else. So I think for the most part, we've seen a fairly good response. I mean, and again, y'all both appear to be in great shape still in regards to delinquent accounts. So as far as my written report, that's all I have. We discussed the country club manhole. The other item I had to report is the water fountain that I've been struggling to get my hands on is finally here. It's sitting in my shop. So we'll get that stuff teed up and scheduled for installation. But other than that, that's all I have, unless you guys have questions for me.
This is Barry. This is not necessarily a question, but noticed on a drive up to my daughter and son-in-law and grandkids' house last week that a mud district up there in the lakes of Cypress Creek Lakes they've got their moderate drought signs out. And I know it's been pretty doggone dry and hot here recently. We have had periods of rain. But is it something that I'm not sure the types of signs that we have stored for our drought, but would it be prudent for us to think about if this dry drought, if this dry period keeps up for another week, maybe just some reminders to some people in the district?
Yeah. During summer months, we've got some folks in our office that's pretty much all they continually do is monitor various drought contingency plans and, you know, water plant performance to see if and when we need to pull the trigger on some of that. I've not heard anything from 136, from our staffs, you know, on 136. I'll also confirm a few things there. It sounds crazy, Barry, but it's almost kind of a catch 22. I've seen in some cases when you put out, you know, everyone's got the best of intentions, but you go and you put out a voluntary restriction sign, and I've seen demand skyrocket. It's almost like people think you're about to take it away from them, so they're going to use it while they can. And so we almost I mean, not to say not to put them out. I mean, if and when it's necessary, we have to do what we have to do. But anyways.
Okay.
There is a Texas, a national drought map, and I'm sure some of you, if not all of you, have seen it. And it gives drought information for all 50 states as well as by county at the county level. And if you monitor the state of Texas, and it shows historical drought data, and I think it has drought categories in like five or six different categories of severity. And the last time I looked at the drought map was probably about 3 or 4 days ago, and it looked like our counties to the immediate west were starting to get into the lowest category of drought as far as it's categorized by the state. But the state of Texas has a lot of significant drought areas. So I think it's something that we would be well advised to at least think about, you know, if this continues and we don't get any serious rain events, we might have to start doing a little bit more education on conservation. I agree.
Sure. Yeah. Don't disagree at all. And to your question, Barry, we've got signage that's ready to go.
Yeah.
If and when we need it.
Good.
We could always fire up the drought management subcommittee. We could have the new guys work on that. Yeah, that's going to be a challenge for us to do. I think it's probably something that we need to start working on again. But as of right now, we have a drought management plan, and we do have the ability to punt whenever we need to. So I think Keith is right, and we'll let them provide us with some signage if it does get to that point. Any other questions for Keith regarding operations? I don't hear anybody unless my internet's not working well. If I don't hear anything, do I hear a motion to approve the operations report, authorize repairs, and well, not termination of service. So authorize repairs and the report.
This is Eric, so move.
Abby, second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. I'll read the roll. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Brent Phelps?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Washington?
Yes.
Neil Polansky, yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Jane, adopt order calling directors election.
That's right. So, as you guys know, you have a directors election up on November 3rd. I received both Neil and Brent's applications. The deadline to submit for placing the ballot is the 17th. And then the write-in deadline is the 21st. So after the 21st, we should know whether or not you're going to have an election or not. So by next week. So for tonight, right now, we're just going to, I just need a motion to approve the order calling.
So Barry, I make the motion to approve the order calling the director's election.
Second.
21st. Yeah, the 21st is the write-in candidate deadline. So after that, we'll know for sure.
Okay, I made the motion. Adam, did you second?
Yes.
Neil's frozen.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Barry, why don't you go ahead and step in and call the roll?
Okay. Barry's made the motion. Adam has seconded. Call the roll. Barry Greer, yes. Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Brent Phelps?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Are you there yet? Shane, how do you want to do that?
Wait, he's joining.
Neil says he lost connection. So, so the motion is approved. Four votes, or I don't know, Jane, if you want to have Neil say yes later on when he gets back on.
Yeah, if he's able to get back on, we can include him in it.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. He should be trying to join right now.
Gentlemen, if y'all don't mind, I've got to run to a water plant here in just a little bit. It's calling out for an issue. I've got somebody there. I'm going to run over there and meet. So if you guys don't mind, I'm going to jump off unless you guys have any questions or need me here.
I don't think so, Keith. I don't see anything else on here. Have a good evening.
Yes, sir. Okay. Y'all take care.
Thanks, Keith. Did y'all approve the order calling the director's election?
Yeah, Neil, you need to vote.
Okay. I vote yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I lost internet. Discuss and consider rate order and take any necessary action.
No, we got to go to item 11 first.
Oh, approve joint election agreement with Harris County. Has everybody had an opportunity to review that? And that's only in effect in the event we have an election, right?
Right.
But we have to approve it nevertheless.
Right.
This is Barry. I'll make a motion that we approve the joint election agreement with Harris County.
This is Eric. I second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. I'll call the roll. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Brent Phelps?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Neil Polanski votes yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Rate order, unless there is any reason for us to go forward on that, we'll postpone that until maybe we meet in person, unless anybody wants to move on with that. Okay. Did anybody attend the West Harris County meeting?
I did. This is Eric. I did.
Not much. Do you have anything?
No. The only thing that really kind of popped up was only one person spoke during the public comments, and they were from their director of mud of the or trails of the lakes mud. They were unhappy that the WCRSDs were constantly going up because they were considering a rate increase of their own and the impact it's going to have on their residents. So same thing we discussed. They just made it public.
And what was the response by the governing board of West Harris County?
What you would expect. Thank you for your comments, and your time is up.
It's going to be interesting because this is going to be an interesting time with all the some of the muds. They're going to just keep on going up 25, 35 cents every year. It's going to be interesting to see if they continue. Okay. Do you have any comments or feedback from the public on that?
No.
Nothing? Somebody speak so I know if I have a connection.
Which item are we discussing right now?
Trash and recycling.
Oh, okay. You were silent. That part didn't come across. I thought we were still on item 13.
Any feedback or comments on trash and recycling?
Your normal gripes.
Okay. Recycling event, Eric.
All right, we are set to go. Jay has the verbiage basically copy-pasted from last year to go into the next two newsletters. I've spoken with the HOA. The men's group is on board. I've spoken with the hauler, and they are going to run things exactly the same way as they did last year. So it seems fairly straightforward and simple.
What about, Eric Kasperi, what about the protocol with regard to COVID? I mean, how are they any discussion about that?
No. Nope.
For that event?
It's whatever the state is recommending at the time. So what will happen is people basically drive their vehicle in, and men's group will, if masks are required at the time, the men's group will have to be wearing masks. Maybe we need to provide them, and we'll unload the vehicles, and they'll drive off.
Okay.
They did say that they'll be putting signs out for what items need to be deposited where. I thought there was going to be basically three piles, one for free e-cycle, one that would carry a fee with the recycler, and then also one with for shredding. And he said, no, he goes, there's two piles. There's shredding and everything else.
Oh.
So
are customers going to incur any fees in the parking lot?
That's what I asked, and he didn't say. Let's see, let me pull up the email.
Or do we incur those fees?
That's
if somebody drops off a CRT or wonder what name another item that had a per unit charge.
Let's see.
CDs or whatever, right?
Our batteries. Alkaline batteries carry a fee. Any type of battery will carry a fee. So I said, one of my questions that I said to him or asked him, I said, my only other question when it comes to the items that require a fee, how is that bill sent back to us? And his reply was, we are scheduled for the 24th. In the past, we've had residents bring their items up for collection. We have a banner we can bring with information, and I can provide a flyer with information on what is accepted. We typically cover the cost of the shred truck and the e-waste processing. I'm not sure if we had a free drop and a charge drop. I believe we simply collect it and deliver it to CompuCycle. That's what he's telling me, is that this is a service they provide to the district, and there is no fee to the district.
So if there's a per unit charge for an item that normally would just go in e-cycling, if there's like somebody drops off an old tube television and there's a fee attached to that, the fee is not incurred by, is it incurred by the customer or is it incurred by the district?
From his response, and I'll forward this to the board, is that Texas Pride is eating that cost. Now, he said he's heading out today in order to go to Colorado for a family reunion. I did call and leave a message with him. And then I emailed him as well, and he chose to reply via email. This is the president, Kevin Atkinson. So, I mean, I called in. That was the one item I was trying to clear up. And from his email, he says that they simply collect it all and deliver it to CompuCycle. Somebody's going to be paying a fee to CompuCycle at some point, because their CompuCycle set their item list of what they will accept for free and which items carry a charge.
Right.
So that's what I was trying to clear up. And I'll talk with Jay about this as well. But Kevin, the owner, is telling me that there isn't a fee to the district or to the resident.
Well, we need to get absolute clarification on that.
Okay.
Because it's listed. I mean, on the information sheet that was provided that said what is e-cycled and what is has a per unit charge. I mean, why list a per unit charge if it's not charged to anybody?
Unless Texas Pride is going to eat that cost, and they may be doing that. I'm not sure.
We need to have that in writing.
Okay. So I'll ask him to. Do you want me to ask him to draw up a contract?
No, just I wouldn't think so. This is Barry. I would think email would be fine, wouldn't it? Okay. Confirming that.
Okay, I'll try to be more point blank than I was before.
Yeah, it just I think an email is fine, but he needs to commit to the district. Neither the district or the customer incurring any charge related to those per unit items.
Okay, I'll include the CompuCycle rate list as well. Just to make sure that he's aware of what CompuCycle is going to charge them if they drop off an item that incurs a fee.
That's a good idea.
Yep.
Okay, I'll do that today.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking that on. We appreciate it. And we're covered in the case of inclement weather?
It will be postponed.
Okay.
Because with all that paper and shredding, there's no point in electronics and paper don't mix with water. So if there's the two reasons that would be postponed is if the governor comes out with a new COVID order restricting people gathering of some sort, or if it's raining. I'll bring up rain as well. I'm not sure if they would prefer to have pop-up tents brought out, but then I don't know. I'll ask about that. If there's going to be a backup date.
That may be something that's worth picking Jay Singleton's brain on to see how they handled that in the past.
I will talk to him now.
Okay. Thanks, Eric. Discuss district website. Adam, do you have anything on that?
We got... fixed an issue we had before with our transcripts. The files were too big, so I was able to compress them, and now they are small enough to where they have been uploaded to the website. So our previous transcripts are now up. I also started on the SB2 compliance, but all as far as I got was putting a link on, there's now a link on the homepage. That is, it's marked as under construction, but I will have, one link on the homepage that will have all of the compliance data needed all in one place.
Okay, so you're going to have a link for SB2 related information?
The link's already up, but I've just got to grab all of the documents and put them under that link, so when you click on it, it goes and it'll show you all of the documents and the paperwork.
Okay. All right. Everything else copacetic as far as the website's concerned?
Yep, appears to be.
Very good. Thank you for your work on that. Barry Greer. Article for the newsletter.
Yeah, I'll take care of it. Anybody have anything in particular that would like presented in the article? Okay.
people may want to think about conserving water.
Yeah, I'll hit that pretty good.
Just make sure that you mentioned again that the mud is responsible for the shredding and e-cycling. It's been mentioned with the HOA's men's group, and they do give credit to the mud that it is our event, but I just mention it one more time.
Yeah, okay, we'll do it.
I agree. We don't have a lot of name events. The Homeowners Association is much more upfront and out front with community-related events. This is one of our own, and although we are, you know, partners with the HOA, I think we deserve some notice and notoriety and good publicity related to this event. It's pretty worthwhile. People want to do it. I know that I have about 15 pounds of old cables that I need to get rid of, so I can't wait for it. All right, thanks, Barry. All right, agenda items for next meeting. Anything in particular? Jane, is there anything that we either need to take off, or we'll take off a few, right?
Yeah, a few will be taken off, and then obviously next month you'll have your tax rate discussion.
But. Right. We will get feedback from our consultants as well as from the state of Texas and the HOA regarding whether or not we can do an in-person meeting next month. You know, if things remain the same as they are, apparently the HOA is having in-person meetings for their board that are limited to the board and invited guests. The public and consultants are phoning in. So apparently, since the HOA is doing their meetings at the rec center, we might be able to do that September 10th as well. I'm not committing to that because there are too many things that go into this decision, but I would like to be able to at least assemble the board members for that meeting if we can. So keep our fingers crossed that the numbers keep going down or start going down, and we'll see. Anything else anybody want to bring up while we're all assembled? Well, thank you very much for attending tonight, everyone. I appreciate it. Jane, thank you very much. We appreciate you being here. Oh. And if you have any questions or any concerns, let us know. If anybody out there has any issues they need brought to the board's attention, we are there to assist. Anyway, y'all be safe, and talk to you soon.